There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday Eve, little Friday edition of the show. I love Thursdays. A lot to do on today's show. I want to just let me forecast an item coming up in today's show. I got a couple things I have forecasted earlier there at the end of Jeff's show. But in addition, President Biden is speaking right now and is talking about how he's going to solve the recession by spending more money and solve debt by spending more money. Well, we'll get to that in the second half of this hour. Actually, it's a pretty good pivot point because my friend Dale Leach from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com, joining me. And federal money is something we could use in this bridge project. Hey, Dale.
Hey, Sean. Yeah, it is. And we're going to get at least some, if not maybe more in the future for the bridge project that is absolutely definitely happening now.
Okay, wait. Wait, now I've heard that before. You and I have had this conversation more than redistricting or anything else. You and I have been talking about trains and the bridge project. Probably that's a months of conversation between us on this. So where are we now? And by the way, Dale, who was the best dressed man at the Nappies the other night. I'm going to say that, Dale. You're working it. You did good.
Thank you. I was just leaning into a 1920s theme. Well, I like a theme.
Well, so. You fit. It was Gatsby. I thought I had spotted Gatsby, you know, when I saw you. Okay.
Thank you.
So MPOs on both sides of the bay say, okay, we're good with this plan, although they kind of telegraphed that before, right? They basically said, hey, if this plan's met with, we'd be okay with it. But now they said yes and put it on the TIF, and then take us from there. So that happened, and what's next? Why do you feel so confident it's going to happen, Dale?
Well, in layman's terms, the votes from both MPOs make the project quote unquote shovel ready, which means that federal funding can now come in the form of these TIF, I think it's TIFI loan and some other things that we're going to get for this project, which wouldn't have been possible before putting it back on like the long range transportation plan, transportation improvement program. So now we're at a point where federal money is going to start coming in, and it means that the things that you do before a project, before construction starts, before hard construction starts, is going to begin now. So they're going to go back. They're going to design. They've got a design build concept where they're going to work. They're going to have groups work in tandem to get us to a point where we can start vertical construction.
I want to get into all the construction portions on this, but I'm going to stay with the money for a second because that's how we kind of started this. So you and I've talked about this. You've reported on this. So I get this, that $125 million infra-grant money that's out there. They have to spend before a certain point, right? Because then it has a shelf life. And then ALDOT, within the last few months, right, said that they could come up with $250 million.
All right.
So, okay, I got those numbers. I hadn't added them immediately in my head. I'm not a math magician here. But I do know that you reported that the project's $2.7 billion, Dale.
It is.
How do there's a big chasm in between those two numbers. So between the infographic, 250, okay, it's almost like when the kids say, I want to put some money towards something, and they give you like 35 cents, and you're like, well, the bill was $115, but LDOT's 250, or the state's 250, Infogrants 125, and then the price tag's $2.7 billion. So do tell.
So that's $375 million out of $2.7 billion. $900 million is going to come from the dreaded other category, which we can all assume will probably be paid for through tolling. There's some other federal loans and stuff in there as well, and they've also applied for a mega grant or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's mega grant.
The terminology for that, but from the latest transportation bill that Biden signed, they've applied for a grant for that, and that's up to $500 million. So we're looking at different pools of money, but yeah, a large portion of it is going to come and be paid for through tolling, and we can get into the tolling numbers if you want to. The toll is less than it was last time, which was a big difference.
No, you there? Hey, Dale, we just lost you, man. If you could switch off of, it's probably a Bluetooth thing or something like that happening. Did we lose him? I don't know what happened. I tell you what, can y'all help get him straightened up on, if you do that, get him straightened up and figure out what's going on, we'll get him back. I can hear him back there somewhere, but it's like something switched to Bluetooth. Kind of that. So, by the way, too, this 500, and I want to talk to Dale about this more, the $500 million mega grant. The mega grant, I don't know that's being bandied about, but that's not I don't think a sure thing in this. They have to get that. And I love the fact, here's government at work, too. So mega grant, they say, offered to large, hard-to-fund transportation projects, which I like the fact that you have the transportation projects come out, and they fund or don't fund those. But then if you don't get funded in those, there's another pool of money to fund those, but it's from the same federal government. I mean, Dale, that $500 million mega grant, that's not a sure thing, right? Because, I mean, they're talking about that in the calculus, but that's not a given, is it?
No. They've made an application for that. It's definitely not a given. And, but then again, there could be other forms of federal money that come in as well. And, we don't really know, I guess, at the moment what exactly is going to come in. So, I mean, the difference will have to be made up with tolling. And the tolling is going to be in effect, they say, until the project's paid off. So, if we don't get some of the funding we were hoping for, they'll just add it to the length of time that we have.
Right.
To pay the toll. We have to pay everything off.
So $2.50 for passenger vehicles, $18 for trucks, right?
Well, yes, and here's kind of the caveat to that, and it's done similar to what Georgia does with the Peach Pass, what Florida does, I think, with the Sun Pass. You have to get these little transponders for your car,
right?
And that will make the toll $2.50 each way. If you don't get a transponder, like if you're out of town and you're passing through, it's $5.50.
So the $2.50 is only okay. $2.50 is only with the transponder.
That's correct.
Which I'm naming, by the way, if you want to put this in an article to come, Sean Sullivan has named it the Hard Pass.
That's funny. So I think they're going to call it the Algo Pass. So it's ALGO. And those I've been told are going to be readily available. They might even have a situation where you can get it when you register your vehicle for tags each year. They're going to be about $5 to $15 a year, but it'll save you, it'll save you a ton of money.
Well, if you go back and forth a lot, but you got to judge that.
Here's the thing. If you go back and forth a lot, there's also, with the transponder, a $40 a month plan. So let's say you live in, this doesn't happen in real life.
No.
Let's just say, for instance, you live in Fairhope and you work, let's say for the city of Mobile.
Okay, that's creative.
Yeah. Very, I'm just picking stuff out of the sky here.
Right, right.
Live in Fairhope, work for the city of Mobile.
Uh-huh.
You can go back and forth, $40 a month. I think there's something along the lines of 22 working days per month, give or take. So you're looking at 44 trips for $40. That's pretty good. So you that's available if you're a once a twice a day commuter. And then, you know, for folks who don't want to pay for the transponder, don't want to pay the toll, like I said, those free routes are still available. And apparently they're also available for trucks. So
yeah.
trucks can take the Wallace Tunnel and get off at the causeway is what I've been told.
Right. So let's
there are a lot of options. And then there's also the Africatown Bridge.
I want to talk about that for a second though. This is like the I get it. And you know, one of the things I think that started me personally, the big revolt back in 2019 was them, you know, tolling everything because they said, well, right. You know, if you don't toll it, then people will use a free route. But in this, if you move Wallace Tunnel traffic onto the causeway, I'm correct, right? In this case, the bayway, the rebuilt bayway would be for the bridge. Once you did Wallace Tunnel, they put you down on the causeway. Is that correct?
That's how I understand it, yes.
Okay. So now you're going to move that traffic glut right onto the causeway, which will probably make people use the toll bridge, even though there's a free route. That free route right. is going to be probably nowhere near as expedient. I'm just guessing. Who knows? We got 5 years to build this
thing. And here's the thing. I think that's the reason why they're doing it. Because if you think about it, like,
uh-huh.
sure, you can, because it's good. Think about it. You're in the car with your kids,
mm-hmm.
right? We'll pretend that your kids are younger and more annoying, Sean. I know they're older and probably out of your hair a lot less than they used to be.
I don't know. They do a pretty good job of being in the hair. Yes, yeah, so go ahead.
But let's say you're in the car, you know, you got a couple of kids in the car, your wife is beside you, you're driving, you're going to the beach, you're from like Texas. You can choose to stay in traffic on the causeway for 2 hours or, you know, take the nice pretty bridge and pay the $5.50. You know, you're going to pay the $5.50. So I think that's part of the calculus here.
Is sure.
They want to see people who are in a hurry, who might be out of town, who don't know any better, take the bridge and end up paying more for it than the locals would. I think that is the idea here.
Yeah, I mean, and they can then say there's untold routes. You know, there's these free
right.
routes,
right.
which is true, but there's going to be an advantage to not take it. I've talked about it before, having some liberty in how you do it. I like in Florida, right? I take the turnpike there, and I know I'm going to pay. I get on at whatever Yeehaw Junction and get off down South Florida, down Miami.
Sure.
I know I'm going to pay for it, but yeah, because I want to get everybody there quickly. I don't take I-95 or go down that way. So similar thing will happen.
If you want to take I-95 and you're feeling cheap a certain time,
yeah.
you can do that. Just deal with it. Because I mean, the way I look at it is the traffic's bad for me anyway, and so like if I'm going to I probably go to Baldwin County maybe twice a month, so at the most to
yeah.
see my parents. So that's like I'll probably deal with the traffic and not pay the toll. But there might be some people who don't want to do that, and I understand. So I think it was probably no one really wants to pay tolls, right?
Right.
I always try to find a way around it if they can. So I don't think there was outside of not tolling at all, I think this is the best possible scenario, I think.
Now, you talk about the truck portion, too, here on the, we kind of did a breakdown there when we started talking about the toll amount, $18 for trucks. I remember some discussion here, and I don't know if it came up in the meetings or if you have research on this, but they did do some differentiating between different kind of trucks, right? Like 18-wheelers versus local box truck that's doing deliveries. I mean, did they say anything about that the other day? Like what means truck?
No, but we're talking about like your big semi trucks that do nationwide delivery stuff. Like local box trucks, the smaller trucks are going to pay this typical, within reason. ALDOT has a framework for the size truck that they would charge the major tolls to. There's a size limit. I can't remember off the top of my head what it was, but suffice it to say, the we're talking about the big trucks that haul
semis, yeah.
and stuff. The local delivery truck would be considered everyday vehicle.
All right, can you hold on during the news break and come back with us?
Absolutely.
All right, coming right back. More with Dale Leach from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. A lot more to talk about on this subject, and one we have been talking about for, at some level, over a decade, for sure. We'll continue next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Maybe I'll use this one. We're going to get to the text later in this hour, but as always, prodigal son or daughters move up to the top of the list. I think it said You Goods, maybe You Goons. This sounds like a bridge commercial. Then went on to say a turnpike is a bypass route. This is dropping an ATM in the middle of an existing interstate. That's pretty funny. Good. And this person says, I still listen to NPR, too. I like to know what the liberals think. Is that so? Am I guess, I don't know. A liberal. Dale, you pointed out something to me during the break at the MPO meeting the other day. Compare the meeting where they put this on the TIF now and then back in 2019. How many people were out that were speaking against the bridge project this time, this week?
Not a single person spoke against it this time in Mobile. I didn't get to go to the... Here's the thing, though, and people will rightfully point this out, and I have to agree with them as an advocate for sunshine in government and shining the light. I have to say, there was nobody at the Mobile meeting. I don't know what it looked like at the Eastern Shore meeting because they were happening at the exact same time, and I'm only one man. I can't be in two places at once. So, I mean, maybe that was part of the calculus, too. Maybe it was the divide and conquer, but there wasn't a single person who spoke against it at the Mobile meeting. And in fairness, there wasn't anybody who spoke for it either at the meeting, but it did pass unanimously. So take that for what it's worth.
That's interesting because, because before, if people remember, 2019, it was packed house.
Yeah. Yeah, there were tons of people. They had to put extra chairs out. It was definitely the busiest MPO meeting I've ever been to, and it was just a completely different look this time. So that kind of told you, I think, that, like I said before, this one was a lot more palatable, and I think the free routes make a big difference. And this isn't the only place where they're gonna put a toll on an interstate. I mean, they do it in Virginia. I've lived in Virginia, and they have tolls on interstates in Virginia to pay off new infrastructure. So it's not a new nothing. None of this is a new concept. It's all based on things that have happened before.
But it's rare. It's new and special. But it's rare compared to the non-tolled interstate.
I mean, compared to other things, you're right. Because like bring up the Florida Turnpike. That is an alternate route. That is not the interstate. I understand that completely. It is rare, but it has happened before.
I mean, because you could say from Jacksonville to Los Angeles, this is the only toll on I-10, right?
Yeah. As far as I know, I have not. I've driven I-10 that far once, and I was a kid, and so I was in the car. I don't remember there being a toll, so no, probably not.
All right. Also, the change, we talk about the bridge a bunch. What about what the bridge dumps onto, the bayway? What changes are coming on this?
It's going to be 12 feet higher to start with, so they're gonna replace the existing bayway with a new bayway option. It's going to be 12 feet higher to deal with, to deal with storm surge requirements federally. So there's 12 feet higher, which obviously is adding to the cost of the entire project.
Oh, yeah.
When this was originally reintroduced, there was this, frankly, cockamamie idea to add like a third lane in both directions to the bayway.
Where they were going to use the emergency lane, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So there'd be no way to turn off. Yeah. Like, there'd be no way if your car broke down, your car was just holding up traffic, I guess. I don't, or if there was an accident. I feel like that situation would have made everything worse. I get what they were trying to do. They were trying to make it as low cost as possible because they knew that the state wasn't going to chip in enough to pay for all of it. And so I get the idea, but I think cooler heads prevailed, I think.
All right, and anything 5-year window, right? 5-year window to get this thing built.
That is a very aggressive and optimistic projection on the part of ALDOT, but they claim since all of like the technical work has been done from the previous project that didn't pass, that they can quickly come up with a design and build the bridge and do the construction. If it starts in 2023, by 2028 it'll be finished.
All
so
right,
that's what we're looking at.
All right, I'm putting it on the calendar right now. You and I'll keep up with this, okay?
We'll both be dead before it's actually done. But that's fine. We'll go with the 5-year time. Who knows?
Yeah.
Life is short.
Yeah, that's right. Let's hope it's not that short. All right. folks want to pick up a new copy of Lanyap out there, go online. Tell them how to do that.
LanyapMobile.com. Just click subscribe button and go through the prompts. It's $1.50 a week. Keep an eye out. Every once in a while we'll run subscription specials, where you can get the paper delivered to you and online access, and that gets you not only a digital copy of the paper, but everything we write, basically ever, is on that website. So please check it out. Subscribe if you can. We'd really appreciate the support.
And always enjoy our conversations. Looking forward to next week already.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean. Me too, man. Talk to you later.
There he is. Dale Leash, Lanyap, LanyapMobile.com. We're coming right back. We got President Biden speaking about how he's going to fix the recession by spending money, federal money, to fix a recession and debt. I have to get my pencil and paper out here on this one. We'll get to that. Plus, cooling the earth by dimming the sun. Yeah, that's in the mix. And what they voted for and against in Washington. That's all straight ahead right here, Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Look, they got Yelena, who's apologized for missing this on the recession. But that, why is she giving a pressure now? Can you be like the people that were right about it? Okay, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. We'll get to President's commentary on the recession. That they say is not really happening. We're redefining what a recession is, and then some plans. If it was a recession, they're not saying it's, but if it was, we'd fix it by spending more money. We'll get to that in a second. I do want to run through a few of these texts here that came in about our bridge discussion. Ken texts here. Sounds like the bridge people are drinking a mega pint. I'd like to drink a mega pint. Leo, who is... we could go back through years of Leo's text, and I don't think he wavers. He said, nope, I'll take the low road, won't pay tolls. Leo, I think I could probably go back in your text, Leo, and have that same reaction. You have not changed. That's good. Ella says, I have a Sun Pass for Florida toll roads, and it works on Georgia and North Carolina toll roads. Alabama should do something similar. I don't know, what do y'all think about my name for it? Because it's not popular. The Hard Pass? I think there's something there. All right, Pat says here, I'm not saying I'm for this, but if you tell all three ways, wouldn't that cut the amount of time before we pay off our debt by a third, meaning the interest we pay is less? Yeah, and I don't know what the bond rate. I hope the state of Alabama got a lock in before. Not just yesterday with the 0.75 increase there from the Fed, but, the previous ones as well. I hope we lock something in. I mean, bond rate were real low before. Now not so much. All right. Now, Steve says, no toll on the I-10 bridge over Lake Pontchartrain. No toll on the new I-10 bridge over Escambia Bay in Pensacola. Steve, the Escambia Bay Bridge discussion, listen to this. And this is, I was Machiavellian when I first heard this. I was like, oh, I don't want it for our city. But I was told that the way that was built with federal money is because it was destroyed in the hurricane. Like, if the Bayway would have been destroyed in the hurricane, we could have had it rebuilt with federal money. But because it wasn't, you can't. How about that, Steve? Welcome to our government. Fred, you're predictable. I like it. Basically, Fred loves motorcycles. He said, why not toll motorcycles at a lower rate as well, similar to a box truck versus a semi-truck? Tom says, I hope that they raise the causeway, they engineer it in such a way that it relieves Upper Bay sediment issues. Yep, Tom, I do too. I was going to meetings about that 20 years ago, and nothing's happened about raising some sections and I mean raising, like R-A-I-S-E, not destroying, but elevating sections of the causeway so the water through, like, the foot of Chocolat and other places could flow like it's supposed to. Let's see. All right. Well, get, listen, there's a whole bunch of these here. We'll follow this up. I'm sure we'll be talking about the bridge next hour. But before that, let's get to just an abbreviated portion of President Biden's speech earlier. You know, what happened yesterday in Washington as the Schumer and Manchin's reconciliation bill has $369 billion in it to fight climate change. So President talks some about that, and then he tells us how this is going to fix inflation, kind of, and reduce the deficit. Let's go to that in progress.
Without any new taxes on people making under $400,000 a year. Experts, even some experts who have criticized my administration in the past, agree that this bill will reduce inflationary pressures on the economy. This bill will, in fact, reduce inflationary pressure on the economy. It's a bill that will cut your cost of living and reduce inflation and it lowers the deficit. It strengthens our economy in the long run as well. This bill has won the support of climate leaders like former Vice President Al Gore, who said the bill is, quote, long overdue and a necessary step to ensure the United States takes decisive action on the climate crisis that helps our economy and provides leadership for the world by example. Inflation hawks like former Secretary of Treasury Larry Summers said, quote, this bill is fighting inflation. Let me say, this bill is fighting inflation. Progressive leaders like Senator Elizabeth Warren said, quote, this is a bill that truly is about fighting inflation, bringing down the cost for families, and putting our country on a sounder economic footing. Here's how it works. First, the bill finally delivers on a promise that Washington has made for decades to the American people. We're giving Medicare the power to negotiate for lower prescription drug prices, which means seniors and consumers will pay less for their prescription drugs. Medicare will save in the process about $290 billion. And in addition, it also changes the circumstances for people on Medicare by putting a cap of a maximum $2,000 a year. They have to pay no more than $2,000 a year, no matter how many prescriptions they have, for all the prescription drugs, which is especially important for people with cancer and long-term diseases. It's a godsend. It'll literally be a godsend for many families. Second, the bill locks in place lower health care premiums for the next 3 years for millions of families that get coverage under the Affordable Care Act. They will mean an average savings of $800 a year for 13 million people. Third, it invests $369 billion. Granted, I call for 500 plus, but it invests $369 billion to secure our energy future and to address the climate crisis, bringing down family energy bills by hundreds of dollars by providing working families tax credits. It gives folks rebates to buy new and efficient appliances, to weatherize their homes, and tax credits for heat pumps and rooftop solar. It also gives consumers a tax credit to buy any electric vehicle or fuel cell vehicle, new or used, and a tax credit for up to $7,500 if those vehicles were made in America. This investment in environmental justice is real. It also provides tax credits that will create thousands of good-paying jobs, manufacturing jobs, on clean energy construction projects, solar projects, wind projects, clean hydrogen projects, carbon capture projects, and more by giving tax credits for those who build these projects here in America. Now, let me be clear. This bill would be the most significant legislation in history to tackle the climate crisis and improve our energy security right away. Now, give us a tool to meet the climate goals that are set, that we've agreed to, by cutting emissions and accelerating clean energy, a huge step forward. Fourth, this bill requires the largest corporations to begin to pay toward their fair share in taxes. By putting in place a 15% corporate minimum tax, Now, I know you've never heard me say this before. It will come as a shock to you, but 55 of the Fortune 500 companies paid no federal income tax in 2020. I know you only heard me say that about 10,000 times. But the fact is, they paid no taxes on an income, collective income, over $40 billion. Well, guess what? This bill ends that. It's because they're going to have to pay a minimum of 15% tax on that $40 billion or whatever the number turns out to be. Fifth, this package will reduce the federal deficit by over $300 billion. Already on my watch, deficits come down my first year by $350 billion. And a record $1.7 trillion at the end of this fiscal year. Now, this bill is going to keep that progress going. Yes, I'll say it again. This legislation will bring down the deficit. Bring down the deficit. The sixth point I want to make is this bill will not raise taxes on anyone making less than $400,000 a year. And I promise, a promise I made during the campaign, and one which that I've kept. Now look, I know it can be sometimes seem like nothing gets done in Washington. I know it never crossed any of your minds, but the work of the government can be slow and frustrating, and sometimes even infuriating. Then the hard work of hours and days and months from people who refuse to give up pays off. History is made. Lives are changed. With this legislation, we're facing up to some of our biggest problems, and we're taking a giant step forward as a nation. That didn't just happen on this inflation reduction bill. It also happened yesterday when the Senate made the bipartisan decision as a nation to invest in America's manufacturing technology of semiconductors and additional funding for basic research and development in the cutting-edge industries of the 21st century. If the House passes this bill, I want to thank Speaker Pelosi. I think she's going to get it done for her leadership here. It has the added benefit of creating tens of thousands of good paying jobs, lowering inflation. It's going to give us the ability not only to compete with China for the future, but to lead the world and win the economic competition of the 21st century. You've heard me say 1,000 times, we have to invest in research, development, and growth. I hope that the House is going to pass this bill today. My plea is, put politics aside. Get it done. We need to lower the cost of automobiles, appliances, smartphones, consumer electronics, and so much more. And you can't do it. All of these things are powered. Most everything in our lives is powered by these semiconductors and tiny computer chips the size of a fingernail tip. Look, we should pass this today and get moving. I know the compromise on the inflation bill doesn't include everything that I've been pushing for since I got to office. For example, I'm going to keep fighting in the future to bring down the cost of things for working families and middle-class families that matter by providing for affordable and accessible things like affordable child care, affordable elder care, preschool, the cost of preschool, housing, keeping students with the helping students with the cost of college, closing the healthcare coverage gap. You know, that's a fancy way of saying the healthcare coverage gap, expanding Medicaid in states that refuse to do it, and more. Look, this bill is far from perfect. It's a compromise. But it's often how progress is made, by compromises. And the fact is that my message to Congress is this. This is the strongest bill you can pass to lower inflation, cut the deficit, reduce health care costs, tackle the climate crisis, and promote energy security. All the time while reducing the burdens facing working class and middle class families. So pass it. Pass it for the American people. Pass it for America. I'll have more to say in this later. Now I want to thank Leader Schumer and Manchin, Joe Manchin, Senator Manchin, for the extraordinary effort that it took to reach this result. Thank you. And let me speak to one other issue. The GDP and whether or not we are in a recession. Both Chairman Powell and many of the significant banking personnel and economists say we're not in a recession. But let me just give you what the facts are in terms of the state of the economy. Number one, we have a record job market of record unemployment of 3.6% today. We've created 9 million new jobs so far just since I became president. Businesses are investing in America at record rates, at record rates. Foreign business like SK and others are investing in America, hundreds of millions and trillions of dollars, some total. $100 billion in semiconductor investments already announced by Intel, Samsung, and Texas Instruments. More than $100 billion in electric vehicle battery investments by Ford, General Motors, Hyundai, Tesla, and more. And just last week, as I said, SK Corporation of the Republic of Korea announced $22 billion in new investment in semiconductor batteries, chargers, and medical devices, creating another 16,000 jobs here in America. And this is powering the strongest rebound in American manufacturing in over three decades, creating 613,000 manufacturing jobs. Passing the CHIPS bill is going to put another $72 billion for incentives and tax credits to expand semiconductor production. And the Inflation Reduction Act will add another $370 billion in clean energy tax credits in reconciliation, including incentives to accelerate domestic production of solar panels, wind turbines, batteries, and critical materials processing. That doesn't sound like a recession to me. Thank you very much.
Oh, my. All right. There he is. Yeah, there's a lot to say when we come back. You heard the president now, right? Flooding more federal money into a system, into the system, will reduce inflation. More money into the system reduces the inflation. Oh, wait. We're not in a recession because you just told us we're not in a... God help us. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile. FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By the way, a Midday Mobile field trip duly noted here. Dalton, prepare. That story about Catfish Junction shutting down. We are going to... Old school here. Got to take a road trip to Catfish Junction before they shut down in September. You catch the fish. They cook them right there, man. Forget about it. We got to do a show up there. Just put that on the calendar. All right. Welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. And speaking of critters, I got to shoehorn another story in next hour, even though we're packed. I did see this from WKRG. You know, I often say, like, the stories all do, like, alligators along the causeway have been spotted, worrying, you know, residents. And I'm like, where else are they supposed to be? It's like sharks on the beach. Well, where are they supposed to be? This is, Dalton, alligator in, like, a child care center. It's in Georgia, but it's a worthy story. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. Also, continuing to check out your text. By the way, whoever sent, unnamed texter sent me a meme. Usually, I don't react as poorly as Jeff does to memes coming across the text line, but usually it's like it's tough to explain it to the audience. And this one from the Babylon Bee, which those dudes are funny, man. They are funny, and I've seen some where they're on the podcast, and they can do it right off the top of their heads. They're fast. Has a picture of President Biden signing something, and right below it says Joe Biden signs the Don't Say Recession Bill. A name texter, you crack me up. Cameron says, why do we have to have this climate change BS tied into a bill trying to fight inflation? Well, I got this other question, too. How do we have does the irony of having a spending, it's the legislation called the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. Somebody give me an economist and help me here. The legislation is called, here it is, Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. Provides $369 billion for climate and clean energy provision. So, in other words, it's flooding federal money. They call it investment by Congress. Am I missing something? Too many dollars? Chasing too few items? Inflation, right? So we're going to put more dollars in the system to chase the same items, and that's going to reduce inflation? And then you heard him talk about the deficit, too, like spending the money would reduce it. I'm not an economist. I'm interested in that stuff, but maybe I got a lot to learn. Unnamed texter says, tax the corporations who pass it on to the consumer. These people are trying to destroy this country. Let's see. My man Sean reacting to the president. I don't, let's see. Tim says the job market numbers are not factual. They're not counting the people that have stopped looking for jobs that are spending government checks. Correct. That's that. I keep saying, is it the U-12 number? I always get, because the reason I stumble on that is that's also the name for, you know, real big shrimp. Like the ones you put on the grill are U-12s. What is it? Is it U-16, U-12? It's the real unemployment number. But here, okay, let me stop, and we'll come back to the rest of these texts, because the news starts here in a second. But to tout the record unemployment of 3.6%, I think I said this on Monday's show as we started the show, to tout record unemployment of 3.6%, and even we can argue that's not the real number, but what does it matter if you can't afford groceries or gas or housing? I mean, what is it, you know, record unemployment of 3.6%, but so don't worry about the inflation. So you got a job, but you get way fewer things with that job. Coming right back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. We'll grab your calls. Lots to talk about. Glad you're here. 251-343-0106.